Down the Dogs with Chancy and Chi. And we've had some holidays. We've had some time to recover from what was the SEC Championship game. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How you feeling? Are you recovered a little bit? Did you get some good Christmas time and some good food? And has that helped any?
No, I'm still pretty tired, Chancy, from the whole Christmas thing. But it was good. We had a lot of good family time, a lot of good food, and I still think I'm full. I told my wife and I were talking, and we were like, we're just not going to eat this week. There's just food does not exist for us this week. But yeah, man, we had a good time and stuff like that that keeps your mind busy from thinking about the fact that we were probably a couple plays away from playing in, at least in the playoffs again this year, having a chance at a three-peat, to where now we are sitting here and you and I are discussing, you know, if it even makes sense for us to even be playing in the Orange Bowl, you know, or for this game to even happen. So it's been a good Christmas as far as, you know, the holiday itself, but it's also been good to distract me from the woes that we've been experiencing.
I would agree with that. I would say Christmas, one of my favorites, and I always enjoy it, and it was definitely needed this year more so than the last couple, just to help navigate the emotional roller coaster that was early December. But even in those few weeks, there has been a lot to happen in the world of Georgia football and college football in general. Obviously, the transfer portal going crazy, the early signing day, and I'm trying to think when the bowl opt-out started happening. I guess that was kind of when the college football playoff started. That's when that really took off, and so really starting to. Those are becoming the headlines of who's actually going to play, who's not, who's leaving, who's going where. And I just remember back in the day, bowl season was awesome. Like, it was just so, you know, I don't think we'll ever get that back. I think next year with the expanded playoff, we'll get a little bit of that back. It's going to be a whole different thing. But, man, I just remember back when we were growing up, bowls were, I mean, that was the season you lived for. That was when it was just, you got all these interconference games playing that you'd never see. It meant something to, like, we're going to the Orange Bowl. It meant having that Sugar Bowl trophy. It meant something to have one of those. And it didn't matter really what bowl you're playing in. I mean, it was kind of, you're playing for pride, playing for your team, playing
there
for
wasn't
your school.
Anything. There was no such thing as an opt out back then.
Right.
I mean, there was people knocking each other out in the Sun Bowl, you know. I mean, the Papa John's, what was it that Papa John's used to, and maybe it was just called the Papa John's Bowl, who knows, but there's a bowl for everything, and people were just, I mean, murdering each other on the football field because, hey, a lot of these guys, let's face it, a lot of these guys, this is the last game they're ever going to play. And then you have the select few that are going to go on to the NFL. But it's been eye-opening in a really good way to see our team and the culture that – and maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves here, but, I mean, the culture that Kirby has here – and don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of guys that have entered the transfer portal and all that, but as far as top to bottom, hey, Florida State's got all these opt-outs – where's, you know, who's opting out? We're anticipating some opt outs from the Georgia Bulldogs as well. And there's guys that are top tier draft picks that are still playing in this football game, and I'd love to see that.
It really is. And Kirby said something at the press conference today that I guess I hadn't really thought about. I guess we talked about it a little bit, but this senior class is playing for 50 wins. And so they're trying to do something pretty special there. And to wrap up their career, and but yeah, we're very few opt-outs, and I think a lot of the people that are sitting out, a lot of it due to injury. I mean, you're not having a lot of guys just saying I'm not going to play. They've either transferred or whatever it is. Most of our guys that aren't playing are because they left the team, and so you're exactly right. Kirby has created a culture of winning and wanting to be excellent that I think is kind of showing itself. I think we had a few guys back when we played Texas that sat out and put us in a bind in that game, and you kind of felt us not being really prepared for that game, not getting up for that.
Yep.
And that was not the Georgia team that we had come to expect during that time when we lost that game. And so I think you're seeing post a couple national championships what that'll do to you, to your mentality, and change kind of how you operate. And so, but it'd be very easy for us to just roll over and say, doesn't matter. We didn't get what we didn't achieve our goal, so we're gonna wallow in self pity. But does not seem to be the mentality, which gives me hope. Gets me excited about this game, because I want to see our guys go out and win, man. I mean, we want them to win. We want them to succeed, because they worked their tail off all year long and really gave it everything they had. And now they get a chance to go down to Miami, have a fun week, and get to play with their guys one more time. And you're really feeling that. I can kind of you feel that vibe of these guys really want to play for each other.
It is, yeah, it's awesome. It really is a testament to what he's built here. And you know, it's like you said, the guys that are quote unquote opting out of this game, and the guys that are transferring, and you also have. You know, there's been some smoke around the Amarius Mims situation, where he, you know, was looking at a story the other day that people were talking about how he chose not to go back to the SEC in the SEC championship game, and that kind of threw off a lot of our rhythm. And you know, I kind of see it both. I see it both ways as a fan, selfishly. You know, I'm like, hey. Like, if you could have played and that would have made the difference in this game, awesome. Like, I would rather you have played. But, you know, you're also looking at, from their perspective, okay, are they actually going to go in there and chance it and risk potentially millions of dollars? Now, is Amarius Mims going to be a top-tier draft pick? Yeah, he is. I don't really quite understand it. I still think he's super raw. Is he a big body? Yes. Was Isaiah Wilson a big body? Yes. And well, I don't have no clue what he's doing nowadays. So I think he's still trying to scratch the surface of a rap career. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, all right, well, you know, if it's a guy choosing to transfer out because he's unhappy, it's one thing. But you know, or if there's a guy that's like, you know, I'm not getting enough playing time. Like, I still don't quite understand that. There's a lot of impatience and there's a lot of entitlement in college football right now. I'm not saying that wasn't the case back in the day, but they didn't have these kind of options. And now they can transfer to any school they want to and immediately be eligible to play. And I mean, I don't know. Are we going to get to a point where there's going to be like same season transfers? That's what I want to know. Like, I mean, are these guys going to be able to transfer out mid-semester and go? Now, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I think at some point we might get to that point. But I don't know, man. Was there a player that hopped in the portal, which I still think is hilarious? Like, I love that that's like, why is that the name? Why is it called the transfer portal?
I think it's literally because it's like on a website, like when you have like a portal on like a website that you do, because it's literally like you go onto an NCAA website and you just like apply to go into the, so you're basically going, yeah. you're putting in your application on this website, and that's what your app, and then you got to submit your Instagram post about why you're leaving and you love everybody and you appreciate the opportunities and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think the one thing.
So it's just like a web term, like.
I think so. I mean, I think that's where it comes from. I don't know if that's like what it's labeled on the website. It's like it's real big and bold, like
transfer portal. I hope that's what it is. Yes. Welcome to the transfer portal. How may we assist you?
Enter if you dare, and like 1,700 of you did. So, but I think for me, it's. I have a couple of thoughts on the whole thing. I think much of it did not surprise me. I think Javon Dumas Johnson was probably one that was kind of threw me off, was not expecting that. Big thing with him is I think he realized he saw what was coming, and he saw a lot of the guys that were behind him that were just playing really well and were starting to step into that role, and very good chance he was going to get overshadowed. and not be as successful. And so he will definitely stand out.
So if he wants to go to the, like, and I completely understand that. But yeah, sorry, don't mean to cut you off. But like, yes, in that situation, if he wants to go to the NFL and he knows he's gonna lose out as an upperclassman, to me that's completely different. If he knows he's being beaten out at that position and he's got a chance to actually go show himself one more year for the NFL scouts, I mean, is he going to get drafted? I really don't know. He's very comparable, in my opinion, to Monty Rice. Monty Rice got drafted, what, fifth, sixth round, something like that? So, yeah, I understand that a lot more than the kid that's like, Dumas was definitely probably the biggest surprise, but I could definitely understand it. But then there's the kids like A.J. Harris, I think, was probably one of the bigger surprises for Kirby. I don't think he was expecting that. A.J. Harris, a promising five-star recruit at cornerback, decided to hop in the portal, and I think you know, he was kind of primed to come in and be a contributor, and that's a position right now that we're short on. And so, you know, I think that's a much bigger hit to us than the guy who's, all right, he's already helped us out, he contributed to a couple natties, he's now being, his position is being taken. And we got guys coming in too, like the inside linebackers we got coming into this class for next year are incredible, and a lot of them, like we're going to get to, are already on campus. So I get that a lot more. But man, the AJ Harris one and the Marvin Jones one, the Dumas one hurts the most because it's like, this is a guy that's like, you know, I think a lot of people liked. If he had gone to Auburn, I would have completely disowned him because there was some smoke about that happening. But going to Kentucky. Like, you know what? And he had that whole, did you see his post about?
I think I did.
He's like, I mean, you know, it was just like a lot of them, but he kind of like, you could tell, he was like, man, Dog Nation, I've been hurting. I was up late last night kind of thing, you know, and I don't know. It felt like it kind of came from the heart more than a lot of them, but sorry. But anyway, I was just going to say the upperclassmen transferring out after being beaten out, that makes a lot more sense to me.
Well, I think what you see too is you see a lot of guys that what will start to happen, and then I think I talked about this when we first, it's kind of crazy, we were doing this before the transfer portal thing was a thing, and I think what you kind of got this bull rush, especially with the NIL, you've basically got, you still got the, what'd you call it, the Wild West in space.
Wild West in space, yeah.
And we're definitely still in space for sure. I mean, it's still kind of all over the place, but you're going to see a settling down of some of this, and like, or you're going to see these, I think part of it is, we didn't have as many surprises as some of these other teams, and some of these guys, I mean, just got wiped out. I mean, you're talking about your whole team basically leaving on you. And part of that is kind of what we talked about earlier, is that culture. And I think you just saw some guys that weren't ready to compete, or just whatever the situation is, because it is, you've got to, and you hear the guys talk about it all the time. I enjoy that they've got all this NIL stuff now, from the fact that they're all doing all these podcasts and all these interviews and all that, and they're being pretty flippant with some of the stuff they're saying, so you get a little bit of an inside feel of what's going on, and so you're seeing the thought process of some of these guys. And so, because you really have, to your point, it's a multi-layered thing. You've got your upperclassmen kind of getting that one last shot, can I go prove myself and really make that statement, and then you've got these guys that have never seen the field. So you've got these guys that are probably never going to play. And what you find out is the coaching staff actually encourages these guys to go somewhere else. And the big reason they're doing that is so they can get that scholarship back.
Yeah.
And so we have people on staff that help our guys get to other schools. Like they're helping, they're putting out feelers and finding out, hey, what's a good fit for you? Like trying to find a good spot, because we need your scholarship back. We need that spot, because we've got a guy coming in that we need to be able to get that to. So let me help you get somewhere. And so that's happening too. So you really got both. You've got both ends, and there's obviously the mix in between. The Marvin Jones Jr. is an example of, the potential was there. Was he gonna ever be the guy? And I think it's one of those things that you're starting to see, these guys are not, when the feet get put to the fire, are they ready to go to the next level and do what it takes to get there? And I think what you're doing is you're weeding a lot of these guys out. You're finding out who's ready for the prime time. And I think what we're seeing with our team in how we've been supposedly approaching this bowl game with the number of guys that are saying they're going to play.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to create that culture. You're getting that foundation, because that's something that's got to pass from class to class. It's going to come in waves, but you've got to have that mentality of when I go to Georgia, it's going to be a grind. And you still talk about these guys, our guys that go to the NFL are like, oh, this is a cakewalk compared to what we put ourselves through every day at Georgia. And so it was a grind constantly. And Kirby kind of getting into some of these transfers and getting into some of these early signings, like that we'll talk about, he's not really bowing down to these guys. He's putting the team before the player. And some of these schools don't have the same liberty, I guess, to be able to tell one of their top guys to say, hey, we'll bend over backwards, we'll find the big donor, we'll move every mountain to get you what you want, whatever your demands are. Kirby's not bowing down to this. And big thing I'm referring to here is Raiola, not bowing down to that mindset. And so a lot of these guys, I'm not saying that's what is happening with all these guys, but I think you're going to, over the next couple years, if we keep getting these class of strong guys emotionally and that are willing and wanting that level of competition, a lot of this starts to clear itself out, I feel like. You're still going to have these guys that kind of surprise you, but all in all, we're coming out of this relatively unscathed. And so if you're looking at really the rest of college football, to me anyway, I feel like we came out of this in a good way compared to a lot of teams.
No, we definitely did. I mean, and you bring up a really good point. Like, Kirby's just not – he's not going to be held for ransom, you know, in this kind of situation. I mean, the guy's going to just say – I think he's going to try. He's a guy who doesn't burn any bridges. And I think he's open to saying, hey, you know – what are our options for keeping you here? How can we, you know, and all that. But he's not going to make everybody happy. And he understands. I don't know how the hell he does it. I don't know how any of them do it. And we're about to see, I mean, we were talking about it with our friends the other day. But I mean, I think we're about to see a level of attrition in the college football coaching ranks that we've never seen before. And it's going to be, I mean, everybody's going to say, you know, gone are the days of the dualies coaching for multiple decades, or the Bear Bryants. Like, the Nick Sabans in the world are obviously very, you know, few and far between. But these are the kind of guys that just are not going to exist in the college football landscape anymore. The level of coaching is going to die off. I'm just hoping and praying that Kirby is just the freak that we know that he is, and continues to just not give a crap, you know, what happens or how much sleep he gets or how poorly he eats. Like, I think I hope he just stays that persistent SOB, you know, that he is. But you never know, man. He might have a breaking point, and I can tell you, you know, if Kirby was coaching, you know, 10 years ago in that kind of college football, or, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, he'd be a guy that's a multi-decade guy. I still think he's going to be here for the long haul, but at the same time, it's just these guys are going to get burned out, and I don't blame them for it. But it's a lot of work, man. I mean, you're talking about, you've got roster management, and so, I mean, you got all the things. I mean, you throw darts on the board. All right, so what are you're talking about NIL, you're talking about transfer portals, you're talking about just managing your roster in general, keeping your coaching staff happy. And then, you know, on top of all this, you got to think about all these things that you're talking about in this new generation, like, you know, mental health of players, you know, in general. I mean, we've seen it a few years ago with, you know, Trent Thompson. Nobody still really knows what his full story was. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was troubled. And then Isaiah Wilson, kind of same thing. Like, guy, like, got out from under the, you know, I guess accountability of this coaching staff and Kirby and all that. Isaiah Wilson gets drafted in first round of the NFL draft and goes off on his own, and, you know, without that somebody to kind of hold his hand, he just falls apart. So, I mean, I don't know, man. There's just so many different angles you have to look at this thing. I just cannot imagine the workload. I can't imagine the stress level. And, I mean, no wonder Kirby looks like he's, you know, closer to 60 or so years old than he is, 40. But anyway, it's...
But you think about it, though. I mean, he is managing a multi-million dollar corporation. Like, he is the CEO of, I don't know what the dollar figures are at this point of what all is running through there. But they're out of this world. And it's a big deal. And you have to, what Saban has done and what Kirby has been doing, the only way you survive is you create that team. You create that team of people around you that are able to take some of these things off of you and basically allow you to do what you do. And Kirby has been doing that, and he's bringing in a lot of these coaches and these guys that he knows that he can trust and lean on that he's not having to develop. Saban figured that out. You bring these guys that have all the experience in the world, that have played people from all over, that have been playing, have been head coaches multiple times. You're not having to develop these guys. And the nice thing about having like Bobo and Muschamp, you're not really worried about these guys going anywhere. I mean, like, at least for a little while. Glenn Schumann, with the fact that we got him for another year, is a big deal. So we didn't have a ton of coaching attrition, but the guys are kind of buying into that, to his system and his process of what he's trying to create. But you've got to create a team around you that is able to handle that little stuff, because he can't be managing these little guys. He basically has to have people that come up to him and say, hey, here's a situation with player so-and-so. This is what we're done. This is what we want to do. Yep. Are you good with this? Yep. Okay, here we go. And that's what you've got to have people that are around you that are orchestrating that. And so your player management, I mean, that's kind of to your point. You've got to have people that their entire job is managing these 18
a group to 22 of people. Year olds. And the crazy thing is, he's built this thing to where it's like, all right, he's got his coaching staff, he's got his support staff, but then he's got guys, he's built such a culture, it's almost like he's got support staff like that are actually players, you know? Like, in a way, like the guys, the leaders on this team are guys that he can depend on to kind of check a box as far as, hey, this is taken care of. I've got this taken care of. This, I mean, especially when you got guys like upperclassmen on this team. I mean, you know, we missed some of the talent levels over the last few years, but the guys like all these guys on the defensive line that are all juniors and seniors or fifth year guys, like that's the kind of stuff that you can depend on guys like that. But anyway, it is wild. The way he's built this thing is just incredible. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I think when it comes to Kirby, I think, and it comes to these coaches, I think a lot of this is going to have to level out in some way. I don't know what the correction is going to be, but to what we've been talking about, there will be some coaches that are just going to retire because, A, I just got paid X millions of dollars last year, so I'm good for a while. Like, I don't have to be super concerned about what's going to happen, because it's just not sustainable the rate that it's going. It's not a sustainable model. And so just from a pure, if you're just looking at this from a pure business standpoint, you can't have these guys. I mean, because what will happen too is usually these coaches start falling out. The crop of coaches that are going to have to come in and expect to get to that level so quickly, it's not going to happen. And so it's all just going to kind of float back to the top layer the way that it has been. So I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I feel good though that Kirby is where he is. And I think one of the things that we've seen post this SEC championship and not getting into the playoff, I think you're starting to see a little bit of that the Kirby fire is coming back. I think we're getting spiteful Kirby coming back in and making moves, and I'm not mad about that.
I'd much rather have the spiteful Kirby come back. No more walking in and saying, you know what, maybe I shouldn't yell at these guys. We want all the yelling. You know what? Something somebody said the other day that really I sat back and I was like, damn, that is a thought right there. Was so what if you have a situation where you got this big, say it's a sophomore, so like a guy who came in proved himself as a freshman and is a potential All-American or All-SEC guy for his sophomore year, getting all these NIL deals left and right. And then so, you know, say he's accumulated, say he's an inside linebacker. Say he's accumulated, he's got $1 to $2 million of NIL deals. What is the relationship with him and his inside linebackers coach whenever his inside linebackers coach is getting paid $500,000 a year? So he's making 2 to 3 or 4 times as much as his coach is making. How is there a level of respect there? That's my question.
Well, and I think, I mean, that's a super great point, and I'll be honest, I haven't really thought about it.
I neither. I saw it, and I just like, whoa.
Well, just a few years ago, I mean, that coach was making $250,000, $300,000, and this kid's getting his meals paid for, kind of thing. I mean, and getting his school paid for, which at some schools is $300,000.
So, I was about to say, yeah.
So it's kind of crap crazy
money.
But, yeah. And so, I think it's you kind of, I don't know, it gets kind of funky. I think you have to realistically, as a coach, you have to be thinking they're the product on the field. They're the ones that are doing this. They've gotten their money out of this. They're the one having to sign those deals. Because I mean, you look at the coaches in the NFL and the NBA, they're making all kinds of money, much money bigger than these coaches are for them. And so there's that upper level of,
yeah, that's a good point.
Of coaches are doing that, and so they still have to kind of bow to their wishes, but have to be respectful of them. And the ones that are doing it at a high level typically are. And so I feel like at that point, everybody's like, you're making $500,000 more than me. Well, it's like, well, you're making $500,000 a year. It's like, well, I'll figure it out. I mean, I think any rational person, because most of these coaches just a few years ago wasn't making jack. Yeah. They were like some assistant in the back, just like pulling trying to get all the film together. So I think any of these coaches that are, until you have to think of it this way, the level of the percentage of players that are making that much money is so low. It seems like it's so big right now, but if you're looking at a team of 85, 90 guys, 100 guys, how many of them are actually, and just even say Georgia, for example, how many of these guys are making millions of dollars?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. And
of course, and so, you know, Twitter will have you thinking that everybody's making $1 million.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or, you know, Carson Beck is taking, he was holding out for a $4 million deal. bunch of idiots, man.
It's crazy, dude. It's wild. And that's the thing too, is you're never going to know the truth in most of these situations. What will be fun is finding it is if maybe in the next like 10 years or so, if there's like some gag clauses or some NDAs on some of these things, if they expire and we can see some of the stuff that kind of got thrown around during this time, that'd be a good Netflix documentary that I would get behind to try to see what all was getting thrown around, because that'd be pretty wild.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. And then I would actually rather see a Netflix documentary to where there's a bunch of guys that were prior to the NIL that were talking about how much they got paid. Yeah. And then you got the red, you know, like
brown bags.
I'm telling you, it's like every month there just happens to be a time where, at least during football season, every month there's a point where Twitter or Instagram or whatever all gets obsessed with Reggie Bush, and it's just like, give him back his Heisman, and it's just like, guys, that was the rules back in 2004, like that was the rules. So I don't know, man. It is a world. It is a different world than it was back then. It is the Wild West in space. NIL transfer portal. It's hard to make sense of it. And we're sitting here, we were just talking about how we were like, oh, there's no way we're going to be sitting here and talking about this for 30 minutes. And it's like 30 minutes right now. So it's just wild how much information there is. And I mean, we're sitting here talking about different players going back and forth, and obviously we touched on, you know, some of the guys. I mean, what do we have, like a total of like 10 guys that are in the portal right now, and then we have a couple of opt-outs on you and I both don't expect Brock Bowers to, that's going to be a big thing. I mean, You don't expect Brock Bowers to play in the bowl game, do you?
I honestly would be irresponsible if he did. Like, I would be happy to see him play, but to risk him, because this injury he's dealing with is not a joke. I mean, he was hurting during the SEC championship game. Yeah. And I want this guy going top 10 pick, getting everything he can. So I do not expect for him to play. But it looks like pretty much everybody else is. I mean, it looks like apparently Ladd's been playing pretty much full speed. Kirby was talking about it when he got off the plane today. He's like, Ladd's been at every practice. We've held him back. He can go faster. He's like his miles per hours are good. I mean, so sounds like he's trying to get out on the field. So should have a pretty full team for the most part. We should be this, and Kirby even said it was probably the healthiest that we've looked in the last four or five games of the season. He said that as we are right now, and a healthy dog team is a formidable opponent.
Very much so. It's
healthy dog team, which we are.
Who do you think is? I mean, we're super pissed, but at least we're playing in the game. Like, Florida State's like, all right, I think we had just as much of a argument to be in that fourth spot that Florida State did, to be honest with you. And now they've got guys that are all just like all pissy about it, and they're thinking, all right, well, if they're not going to help us out, we're not going to put our, you know, careers on the line or whatever. And so they got all these guys opting out. But, I mean, Chancey, I mean, we're talking about, it's not just like, oh, Florida State's like left guard is out or whatever. They've got their starting running back
the left
out. They've
side
got
of their offense.
Yeah, they've got their top three. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think they're top three ball catchers. Yeah, they are. Coleman, Wilson, and Bell are their top three production guys on receiving ball. They are all out. Benson is out. I think their backup running back is out. Maybe it's their third guy. Yeah, Rodney Hill, that's the guy. Jordan Travis is obviously out on injury. Liked that kid a lot. I hate it for him. If he was in there, they probably would have put him in there. Rodemaker, the backup, he entered the transfer portal. Chancey, I think here's the deal. I think what you ought to do is just, hey, ride on down to Miami, okay? Just say, hey, guys, look, I'll play backup QB if you need me. And they're just going to be like, this Chancey guy, I got a feeling about him. And they're going to plug you in, and you play a little bit of, hey, guys, like, I'm going to back up a little bit, and y'all tackle me. You know, you're just going to be playing double agent. So that's what I'm thinking. Well,
I've lived close enough to them my whole life that I have had to listen to – nice thing is I haven't had to really listen to any Seminoles for a long time now, but at one point, I probably was on their recruitment list because that's how terrible they were. If they were looking at me back in the day, that's how bad they were. I think we've got a bad case of the you don't know how to act because you haven't been there before. As I think is what we're dealing with right here. I think this Florida State team is just they threw their sucker in the dirt, and they are.
Hey, but that just, happens.
There, yeah, it just gets real dusty when you do that. They're not showing that level of maturity that I think, and it's easy for me to say that, but I think you're seeing the difference in, and I think Mike Norvell has done an incredible job. So I don't want to knock. I mean, hell, they had an undefeated season. I mean, like, I don't care what division, I don't care what conference you're in.
And when did they have like deal. 3 wins 2 years ago, something like that?
It's unreal where he's gotten them to, and they were trying to get rid of him. Willie Taggart was their coach not that long ago. Let's make sure we don't forget that. So I want to make sure I get on record and say Mike Norvell has done a phenomenal job getting them turned around and getting to an undefeated season, ACC champion, and they have every right to be upset. Like. Just like to your point a minute ago, I think we have every right to be upset. And Alabama has snuck their way in there and is very likely going to win the whole thing. But who knows? I feel I think with Florida State, it's just one of those things. I can easily see why they are why they're responding the way they are, because it's like, what else was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, what else could I have done? So why should I do anything? And so I thought there was a risk that we were going to fall into that camp. But needless to say, I'll be honest, I was getting a little worried. I know we are all over the place today, but I was getting a little worried because the bowl was still, and I know my opinion doesn't matter on this or any of this stuff, but the bowl,
it matters to me, is still Chancey.
Thanks. That means a lot. The bowl is important to me because you're setting the tone for how you're going into the off season, and then how you're preparing yourself going into the next year. And man, with this class that we've got coming in, and this schedule that we've got coming, and the momentum that we can have going in, having a big win, going into the off season, and carrying some momentum into spring ball, you're just seeing, and the number of guys that we have that have already, that are practicing with the team right now from this class. And they're huge. They're unbelievable.
Did you see those numbers on the offensive line commits?
It's not real. I still don't believe it.
Averaging about 6'7", 315, 320. Like, just massive human being.
It's crazy. But to see it's not so much that you win the game, it's how we go about it going into it. And if we're going about it with the right mindset, then that lets me know that our guys are thinking and talking and acting a certain way. And when we take that into the offseason, that's always been a big deal for me. It's like getting that win against Cincinnati. Like, that was a big game. That was a big game in the Peach Bowl that year. Getting that win on that last second field goal, that starts that momentum. Like,
I'm glad you brought that up. I saw somebody said that earlier. They were like, look, like these things aren't meaningless, because I mean, you think about that national championship season. What really kickstarted it was the Peach Bowl win against Cincinnati.
So don't overlook this stuff, because it's very important. I mean, we had a hangover from that Sugar Bowl against Texas. I mean, it was not clean. It was not pretty. And so I feel good about where we're headed. Like, just everything I'm seeing, everything I'm hearing going into this game and leading into the off season.
I agree. And you brought up, you know, the class that we're bringing in. I think we've got about 13, maybe 14 guys that are already enrolled, which you and I discussed before we started. Really don't know how all that happens. I don't know how you get to a point where these guys are all just like, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm going to skip the last semester of my senior year in high school. But hey, good
there has
for them.
To be an online portal. They got to fill something out to get that.
It's one of those portals. It's a website. You go sign up for it. I'm going to stick my name in the transfer portal and see. I'm going to find this website. that would be awesome. Oh man, I want if it's like something to where you can just get on there and fill something out, I'm absolutely going to do it. I doubt it's that easy, but I'm sure you have to have some sort of credentials. But so you're talking about like this class of signees, the guys that so we had our entire commitment list actually sign early signing day last Wednesday, and we got everybody for the most part except for Rayola. Which the Raiola thing, you know, the more and more I hear about people kind of talking more about him since he's popped over, I think we may have dodged a bullet. It's easy to say that, man. It's easy to say that when you lose out on a five-star prospect. But, man, I've got a feeling about this kid. If he's a guy he went to four different high schools. I don't know if you know this, Chancey, but high school's 4 years long. He went to four different high schools. And now this is the third school that he is committed to out of high school. Kids like that, when you got a situation like that, and then you turn around and have a guy who, like Puglisi, I do not think that Puglisi is a more talented quarterback. I think he's very, very good. And there's a reason that we had, him and Raiola were both in the Elite 11 camp, right? So, I mean, like, neither one of them were scrubs, right? But then you got a guy like Puglisi who is got a big arm and he's got the size. He's got all the intangibles. And then you hear him, and I don't know if you saw the interview with Roddy Nabolsi, but he was interviewing him, and he kind of was like, yeah, so, like, you know, have you been approached by, you know, any other schools? You know, have you been courted or anything like that? And he said, yeah, I got approached. And he basically told him, he said, hey, I'm a dog. Like, it's not going to change that. I'm going to be heading down to Athens in a week, you know, or two. You know, the guys, like, teams, like, reaching out. And a guy, to me, it's more of a testament. I mean, that's a testament to this kid's character. And Raiola's just making a fool of himself. So, look, that he's going to go. How many times have we seen a star quarterback, you know, from high school go to a team who they think, like, oh, like, I'm going to turn them around, make them a perennial powerhouse, and they just fade into non-existence. Like these teams take these guys, and I get it, Nebraska needs a guy like him, but I got a feeling he's not going to do a whole lot out there, and you know what? That's not going to change much. So, you know, but otherwise, top to bottom, number one team in the land, number one recruiting class in the land, and, you know, I don't think that's going to change come regular signing day in February.
Well, a couple of thoughts on Raiola. I think you dodged a bullet, I think, is probably the accurate term. That's what I have been thinking to myself this whole time. And, yes, it's easy for us to say, but does Raiola end his career at Nebraska, I think, is a question.
Yeah.
Like, I feel very confident that he probably doesn't. Just to your point about his high school trends and where he went, I think it'd be a fun wager to see what the odds would be that Raiola stays at Nebraska his entire college career, even if it's only just a few years. The guy's a great talent, and the thing is, will a team rally around him? I mean, Matt Rhule did his job. Rhule got his guy, and you need to make a statement. And he made his statement. He was the one that got on he got at the press conference and said, if you want a guy, you got to bring the money, is really what it all kind of came down to. And I'm sure I'm making assumptions here, but I'm assuming that Raiola went to Kirby and said, hey, this is what they're offering me. And I'm putting this on the table. And Kirby said, have fun.
See you later.
Husking corn, I mean, is really what it comes down to. And so I think you kind of see Kirby's not going to try to move those mountains for him when he knows that I can go and get something. Because honestly, Kirby probably wasn't feeling good about it for a while now. I mean, you have to kind of see that kind of stuff coming, because you know these guys are communicating all the time. Kirby's reaching out to them, talking to these guys. And you have to feel like the vibes were starting to change at some point, mm-hmm. and knowing that this was going to be a thing, because it's been kind of got talked about there for a couple of weeks, and so you know it had to be cooking a little while before that. So anyway, I think it's nice to not have to worry about that. And so he goes to Nebraska, and hey, all the power to him. He may turn out and flip him around and have a heck of a time next year, and they may do some big things. And so but he'll be over there doing that, and I like our guy. I like 15. I like what he's doing, so I'm good with him.
Yeah.
But I think overall this class, I think the big flip on our end, getting KJ Bolden from Florida State, huge deal. I mean, the guy is just a premier talent. And Kirby, you could tell Kirby wanted – this was Kirby's class. These guys that came in, this was a Kirby class if I've ever seen one. And we talk about it every year. I don't get concerned about what we're doing on the recruiting trail. I mean, the Raiola news is the biggest news that we've had of any concern, I guess, in a long time, because Kirby's going to get his guys. And who have we been disappointed by that Kirby has, like, a full class that Kirby has brought in? These guys are all Americans. We're sending double-digit guys to the NFL every year, it seems like. We're doing some incredible things. It's like Kirby's gonna get, he's gonna get who he wants. And so I don't ever get too concerned. I mean, there's obviously some guys that you want to get, but I think now you've got early signing day, and then you've also got transfer portal that you're looking at as well. And I think Kirby is managing both of them as well as anybody.
It's unbelievable. And we, you know, talking about, you know, when you said that this is, look at it top to bottom, this is like a Kirby class. And I'm sitting here looking at it, and there is a lot of guys that it's like, there's not a ton of superstars, but it's a lot of guys that I like. There's a lot of guys that are probably not quite as, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we still got the number one class in the country. So, I mean, you've still got your four or five, five stars. And then the majority of them are four stars, like guys that are like very solid. And then you're going to have a couple three stars in there. I mean, the stars, don't get me wrong, they do mean something, but they don't mean as much as some, what people think. But I will say, man, this is one of the first times that I can remember that we've actually gotten, you know, some big time inside linebacker recruits in a while. And I love to see that, bringing in Chris Jones and who's the other guy, Justin Williams from Texas. Man, we got some guys coming in this class that I'm super excited about, but there's just not a ton of guys. I mean, you lose Rayola. Really, the biggest name that you have, you know, after that is KJ Bolden. Justin Williams is also up there. Ellis Robinson's a big time defensive back. But man, top to bottom, these are guys that we needed. And it's also, we're bringing in three running backs in this class. I looked at one of them, Dwight Phillips from Mableton, Georgia. Dude is fast. He runs like, I think that somebody said he actually runs like a sub 4.3, which is insane. But he's on the smaller side. But man, we've got guys in this class that are awesome. But KJ Bolden was definitely the one surprise of the day. And that's fine, man. If we sign this class and that's all we get, we don't need anybody else for regular signing day. And we haven't even talked about this, Chancey. I mean, the transfers we're bringing in from elsewhere, well, guess what? Don't have to look too far from our biggest rival, Florida Gators, starting running back. Travis? Yeah, I almost said Trevor. Travis Etienne transferring in. Probably, you think he's going to start next year?
I mean, the guy was their biggest weapon. For sure, obviously running the ball between him and I forget what the receiver's name is, but it could be, man. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, but I don't know. I mean, he's going to be the most veteran guy out there. I don't know. We'll see. But what you think?
I'm sorry, Travis is the older one. Did I say Travis or say Trevor?
I thought you said Trevor, but you might have said Travis. I couldn't keep you. You flipped a couple times, and so I just, yeah. I gave up.
I am also just so this whole Christmas holiday, coming out of the Christmas holidays, I'm like more tired than I was beforehand. But yeah, Trevor Etienne, transferring in from Florida. Yeah, I think he's got a good chance to be. I mean, he's a very solid running back. And whenever there was some smoke about him coming in, I was like, forget all this, like, Florida ties. It was kind of like whenever we brought Muschamp in. I was like, dude, I can forgive that real quick. I won't. And whenever I heard ATM was coming in, I was thinking about it. I was like, man, I want that kid. And then we brought in that Vanderbilt receiver, London Humphreys, who is like randomly had like a big play against us. We're like, huh, like maybe we should get him.
It's like, wow, didn't know his name before right now.
Hey, talk to him afterwards. Hey, man, this may be a collusion here, but what do you think about going to play for the Dogs? and then McLeod, is that the name of the defensive lineman that we got from South Carolina?
I think so, something, yes.
Xavier McLeod, something like that. And then we also get the kid, the receiver from Miami. So, I mean, we're bringing in guys on top of the recruiting class. We got that receiver from Miami just happens to be 6'5", you know, like 215. So we've got some boys coming in. And you're right. Like, man, all this attrition that we have here from the guys transferring out, it opens up spots so we can do things like this. And then on top of that, you know, whenever you have like Rayola, transfer out, and you have all this. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, whenever I saw, I was reading about how when that transpired, and we didn't get Raiola, and then there was a couple other guys that like were potentially going to transfer in that we ended up not getting. And so you take all that pool of money from the NILs, the collectives and all that, they're like, that you would have had to throw a Raiola, and you're like, hey, KJ Bolden, we have this set aside for you now. And you can throw that whole pot at whoever you want to in that situation. And supposedly Bolden's father really wanted him to go to Georgia too. So, you know, just from a few different angles there, man, I'm happy to have a guy like that. He's going to be a difference maker in the red and black, no doubt. You're yawning, man. You're making me want to. I'm about to pass out on my keyboard.
Well, I think we can kind of start to wrap it up. I think overall, I think a great early signing day. And I think transfer wise too, we've got some guys that are going to come in and want to make a difference right away. So I feel good about the weapons we're bringing in and guys that are going to be able to play immediately. I think, and I think too, thinking about this ball game this weekend, I mean, we're talking about all this stuff. Dogs play in just a few days, and we're going to get to see these guys one more time. And I really want this team to go out on top. I mean, I really want these seniors and these guys that are going to go to the draft. I mean, they have had the most decorated career of. There's very few in college football that have had a career as decorated as theirs, if any, and it's pretty incredible. And I want them to go out on top the way that they deserve. And so and I think they do too. I think the vibe that I've been feeling in terms of what I've been reading and seeing leading up to this week, I mean, our guys want to play. And that gets me pumped up. So I feel good about this weekend. I'm excited. I think just from a sheer depth standpoint, I mean, we're going to be able to last in the game, and I don't know if they are. I mean, if they've had so many guys just to opt out. So I think from just a pure depth standpoint, we have the sheer advantage over them.
I agree, man.
Because you almost don't even know what to make sense of their team, because they don't even know what kind of team they're going to put on the field. I mean, it's one of those things like you got a backup quarterback that has never, I don't know how many passes he's thrown. I mean, these guys, like, they don't even know what kind of offense they're going to put on the field, because this offense has never been assembled. I mean, it's a whole different set of guys.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, they've got a quarterback who, like, he's already made some stupid comments about playing against an SEC team. Not stupid comments, but like probably not showing as much respect as he probably should. I mean, it's like, man, dude, you were a first-rate bench warmer, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you think you're going to do something against a team who's, I mean, we've got guys on this defense right now. I mean, not only do we have a lot of these senior defensive linemen that I mentioned earlier are returning, and then we've also got guys like Kamari Lassiter, who is a surefire first rounder, in my opinion. And then also, and Javon Bullard flirting with, or teasing, potentially coming back, which would be awesome on all kinds of different fronts. But then you've got like guys, the inside linebackers, you know, just two true freshman guys who are just going to be, hey, like, we're not any old true freshmen. We started for half of the year on a top five defense in the country. So, I mean, it's tough to see anything going their Florida State's way. And it's easy for us to sit here and, like, say that about most of the time. I mean, we've said that for most of the year. But this is a very different situation. If we were playing Florida State full strength, I think we would still be favored, like, probably by, like, a touchdown. Probably 6 or 7. But this Florida State team, I mean, we've seen the spread on this game is opened up at 13 or 14. It's all the way up to almost 20 points now. And that's the kind of stuff that's why people are, and you're right, things are going to change a lot next year. But that's why people are just like, you know, what's the point? And I mean, the Orange Bowl, you know, whenever it's a playoff game is a big deal. But whenever it's not a playoff game and these are the consolation prize, you got your number 5 team versus your number 6 team, Like, neither one of these teams, like, the Georgia is caring about this game because Kirby Smart is a genius and is making them care about this game. Not because it makes sense. Florida State is not caring about this game. Yeah. Florida State is not caring about this game because they got shut out of the playoff and they're being little crybabies and Norvell is not Kirby Smart. Like, that is the best explanation I have for this thing. And you're sitting here talking, I'm like, how am I supposed to be excited about a game where they don't even have their second string quarterback playing against us? They don't have their star running back playing against us. They don't have their top three receiving threats. How are they supposed to move the ball against the defense where we are literally everybody's playing? Everybody's playing on the defense. And Marvin Jones is the only one. And you know what? Marvin Jones, when he jumped in the portal, I had another one of our buddies text me and like, man, dang, does this not suck? I'm like, what did he do this year? He didn't do anything. He did jack crap. I mean, like, he had all this hype around him, but he didn't do anything. I will say the one guy I really don't want to lose, and I'm not going to give up on him, even though he really didn't do a whole lot, was old Michael. There's been some smoke. He is playing in the game, or we have been told he's playing in the game. He has kind of been deflecting any questions about the transfer portal. I think he ends up staying, but I mean, there's no doubt the kid is thinking about it. But they're talking about how they might actually move him to the outside linebacker position. I'm like, yeah, do it. Like, there's no reason not to. This kid needs to be coming off the edge with his hair on fire. You know, there's no reason for him to be trying to fill holes. So, anyway, I don't know. You know, this is a game that, I mean, are you excited about the game?
I'm more excited now than I was a week ago, I guess is what I'll say. I think getting a little closer to it, I'm excited about playing or about seeing our guys play and really just I think the last couple of days just kind of thinking about it and these guys finishing on top and I guess I want that for them. And so am I excited like any other game during the season or something like that? I'm definitely not, but. Which is so crazy to think about, and how these New Year's Six bowl games have turned into. It's just kind of frustrating.
You and I, growing up, like if we won an Orange Bowl in 2003 or 2004, we would have been elated. We would have been bouncing off the walls like we felt we would have felt like. And if we won the Orange Bowl and we ended the year like top three in the country, we would have been losing our minds. Now it's like, well, we're playing an Orange Bowl, and it's like you said, though, it's going to be completely different next year. And the whole dynamic of the first round of playoff games being home games, you know, at the home team stadium, that's going to be a lot of fun. But you're talking about, like, Chancey, I mean, not to go down this rabbit hole by any means at this late in the podcast, but man, that number 13 team that gets left out of a 12-team playoff, you're talking about not giving a crap about a bowl game. They're not going to give a damn. I mean, they get stuck in the Capital One Bowl down in Orlando or something like that, or the Outback Bowl. They are not going to care. But it used to be a thing, though. It used to be a big deal. If you made, even if you were not in the New Year's Six, they weren't even called that back then. It was just, hey, it's the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, blah, 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 Rose Bowl. But if you made a Florida Bowl, that was an accomplishment. If you got in the Capital One Bowl, Gator Bowl, or the Outback Bowl, Citrus Bowl, whatever, you know, all this different crap. But now it's like, we're playing in the Orange Bowl. We won one of those a couple of years ago and actually meant something. Now it's like, well, what does this mean? So I'm excited because I am excited for the same reason you are. I want to see our boys play again. I'm excited to start next year out on a good foot. This is going to be an easier circumstance to do that than playing Cincinnati a couple years ago or 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But this is definitely one of those things that it's a little bit of a letdown. If we were playing Florida State full strength, even if it was backup quarterback, I'd be more like, hey, this is going to be fun to watch. But now it's like, yeah, you got a 20-point spread. What the hell is what is this garbage? But, you know.
Let's hope it's a fun game. We can kind of run away with, let our guys have some fun and go out and play hard and have a good swan song for some of these guys and kind of go out on top. And you hate that this is the way it is, but still to to get that last win and to do that. I think a lot of them want it. So I'm gonna be pulling hard for them, making it happen. So well, it's gonna be here very, very soon.
Should be fun, man. Should be fun. Well, it'll be fun to, you know, it. We've already talked about it, but I don't, you know, I'm not super excited, but you know, it's one last time, man. One last time. It's the end of the football season just always gets me just like, I mean, I'm sitting here, like I watched a little bit of the West Virginia, who were they playing? West Virginia and North Carolina game earlier. I'm like, why am I watching this game? And I'm like, oh yeah, football is almost over. That's why I'm watching this game.
Because I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, because I'm a degenerate and I have to.
Did you watch the West Virginia coach get dunked in mayo?
There's a word that almost came out of my mouth that's not appropriate for this podcast, Chancy, but it starts with an F and
ends with a U.
F, no, I did not watch that. And I just, like, that whole broadcast, they were, like, eating nachos covered with mayonnaise. I was like, I literally, like, Chancy, I mean, you can imagine, I was screaming at the TV, like, you mother, you sweet. Yeah, for those who don't know, I hate mayonnaise. My whole family hates mayonnaise. So
he has like anyway, an ungodly fear of mayonnaise. That is, I'm sad, so but I'm sorry, but it does bring me joy just from time to time to think about how much the Briners hate it so much. I watch the Duke Mayo Bowl and the Duke season opener or whatever it is, Duke Classic, Duke Mayo Classic, I always think of you. So just remember that. I got that one forever.
I just couldn't believe that. I mean, every year since they've been sponsoring that bowl, somebody sent out that gif of the kid who like dumps the jar of mayonnaise on his head or whatever, like to me. And it didn't happen this year, so don't remind anybody. But anyway, Chance, yeah, I don't know if we really even talked much about the game itself, but I don't know how we really could because, I mean, if you're trying to think of matchups, like, I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about their defense, but I do know that our offense is still there, like you said, the majority, if not everybody, besides Brock Bowers and Amarius Mims, is playing. So, man, we got guys. I will say one last thing I will say. If we bring back one or both of the transfers that we got last year, specifically if we bring Lovett back at receiver next year, feel really good about our receiving core. I think our offense is not going to skip a beat, especially with Carson coming back. Was Carson coming back when we last recorded? Did we already know that?
We did not know that.
Well, Carson's coming back, guys. We'll end the podcast with that. If you didn't know, now you know.
But I think a full year of under Bobo's game plan and those two being on the same page and getting some of these weapons coming in, some veteran weapons, it'll take a little while for these guys to get on the same page. But the big thing about next year, and we got plenty of time to talk about that, is we're going to start with competition out the gate. And I think that's one thing we didn't get this year that we missed going into the back half of this season. I think we're going to find out a lot about ourselves early on with this. I think the two national championship seasons, we had two big games going into those. Starting the season out gets you in that mode right from the start. We're going to have that this upcoming year with that crazy schedule we got. So,
And 15 coming back makes me feel significantly better about next year. I mean, people were talking about how Raiola was going to be our savior next year and start as a true freshman to Carson Beck. I mean, I never would have thought that I would have fallen in love with Carson Beck's game like I have, and just have the utmost faith in his abilities to where we are now. I mean, like, that's, you know, you're talking about bring back the experienced guy, the fifth year guy. And trade off the prima donna,
the diva.
Not even like playing a snap in college, and you're a prima donna. Just send him to Nebraska. We'll take the returning starter, and let's make a run at it. So yeah, pretty excited about it. I know we kind of like talked about him coming back. I just, at the end, I was just like, you know what? Did we even say like for sure? Like, hey guys, like, not that everybody didn't already know, but you
know, a lot of stuff has happened since we did this last.
It's a little touch and go. Chancey, we've just simply got our last game of the season here in a couple days. I am looking forward to it. A little notch in the belt would be nice. You know, another Orange Bowl trophy. This will be what? I mean, if we win this game, this will be Kirby's sixth New Year's Six Bowl, something like that.
He's won. Yeah, we've been in one every year except
Rose Sugar, Orange, Peach.
Two peaches.
I mean, and then you count the national championship games, I guess, so that'd be six or seven, somewhere around there. So anyway, yeah, we've got, you know, added to the trophy closet.
Nice sticks when in the lose back. Count.
Yeah. Like, and sitting here talking about an Orange Bowl trophy, just collecting dust in the back, you know, that's pretty nice to think about how far we've come. But, yeah, Chancey, I am looking forward to it, despite all these things. And I'm sure we'll be texting a little bit. But, yeah, man, unless you got anything else, we'll just wrap her up.
I'm good.
Go Dawgs.
Dawgs on top.